Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I wish somebody had about just two more minutes. Thank you, Jesus, to just bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, oh, worship Him. I know you may be busy, but I got to bow down and I've got to worship Him. It's a ring. Oh, 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 it's a ring. I just want to forget all about myself and just bow down and bow down and worship Him. Bow down and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a consuming fire in this place. Can you feel His presence? Oh, yeah. He's a real. Oh, He's a real. Oh, He's a real. Consuming. 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 Hallelujah. I just bow down and I said, thank you, Jesus. I just bow down and I said, thank you, Jesus. You put food on my table and I thank you. Clothes on my back and I thank you.
Can anybody hear me? Having some difficulty. Sister Ruby? Hello? Pastor Hamilton?
Okay. Pastor Hello? Hamilton?
I'm here.
Oh, praise the Lord. We had difficulty. Did you hear it?
I was on the show, but I couldn't, I don't know, I wasn't getting any response.
Yeah, something going on, but it cleared now. Evangelist Bernard dropped off. I'm Sister Ruby. I'm in her place. She her thing was up there, and then she dropped off. I heard her voice, but it's not coming up on the switchboard. So anyway, we're going to go on forward. God bless everybody. We're so thankful that this is Friday, last day, and it's Provoke. Pastor Hamilton, praise the Lord, has been doing an awesome job, and we're so thankful each and every listener that, head up, I'll see, that's calling in today for Provoke, whatever he decide to provoke do. We've been on the blood still works all of this week, Monday through Thursday, some dynamic speakers. I just want to say that you're now listening to Block Talk Radio, a time of refreshing. It says we had two drop calls. Evangelist Bernard dropped and 501 dropped. So we're just going to go forth and we're going to ask Pastor Hamilton to pray and go into the message. But I just want to let y'all know about tomorrow's broadcast with They Overcame with Minister Barnes, and she comes on 5 o'clock our time central in California, and I think it's 8 o'clock in the Carolinas. So with no further ado, I'm going to turn it on over to the great man of God that has done so much work for this broadcast and for God's people, that they would hear the truth and learn and grow and give his time and talents that the Lord has put in him. We're truly the anointing. So with no further ado, I'm introduced to some and to others that may not know him, Pastor Edward Hamilton. Praise the Lord, man of God.
Well, praise the Lord, family. Hello, family. First of all, before we go any further, I just want to, right now, this is the time when we've got to bombard the prayer line. Right now is the time when we need to touch together as family, because there's a move about to go forward today. Because whenever I begin to learn that whenever there's difficulties with the things that we use to put forth God's word, when there's a little difficulty in the music system or the drummer or the piano, that's the time when we have to put things aside for a second and say, you know, that's what we were talking about, intercessory prayer. We have to come together right now. So as I pray, I just want everybody to touch and agree with me. I want everybody to already be expecting the supernatural to take place before the word is even spoken. So as it goes up in spirit, we'll already be in agreement waiting for the results to come. When? Right now, in the name of Jesus. So Heavenly Father God, right now we pray in agreement, Lord. We pray in unity. We pray in oneness, Heavenly Father God, that as our prayers go up, Lord, you'll hear them in collectively in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father God, we pray right now that, Lord, anything that is not in line with your will that would disrupt this radio broadcast today, Lord, let it be loosed on earth that it may be loosed in heaven. And, Lord, we bind that thing on earth right now that you can also bind it in heaven, we can put it under our feet, and we can move forward in excellence of you. So, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, as you pull us back in, as you put us in order, as you put us in line with your word, as we pray it, Lord, we believe that it's already done. We believe that it's complete. We believe that it is finished and ready and waiting for us to reach out and get it in the spirit. So we reach out right now, Heavenly Father God. We reach out for your glory. We reach out for your praise, Lord. We reach out for your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day right now,
yes,
our
Lord,
daily bread.
Yes.
And, Lord, we can forgive those that have done against us, Heavenly Father God, that Lord, you may be able to forgive us. So, Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just believe it, we receive it, and we accept it in the name of Jesus right now. And all those in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Come on, folks, let's praise him.
Whew.
We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord Jesus. Just have your way today, Lord, as we worship you
yes,
in spirit and in truth, Lord, as we worship you through your word today, Lord, and as we worship you for the blood that was shed.
Thank you, Jesus.
That cleansing blood, that transforming blood, that renewing blood. We thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, hello, family.
Hello.
Have you been told that you're loved and appreciated, highly esteemed and favored in the name of Jesus? Well, you know, this is, it's not routine. This is really from my heart. If you haven't been, know that you are loved and appreciated. We thank God for you, and we encourage you that as we go forward today in his uncompromisable word, that you get yourself ready. If you got to get up out your chair for a second, shake your arms and get some energy moving, that's what we suggest. If you got to just wake up and do a little exercise, a little jumping jack, just to get excited about the word of God, we encourage you right now to wake up, to get up, to move right now, and let's find your purpose in the name of Jesus. So, you know, I've been following the teaching. I didn't get a chance to listen to the exact broadcast, but I have went back into the archives, which all of us have the opportunity to do, and have listened to some of this awesome dynamic word that has been shared about this awesome thing called the blood of Jesus. And how, in compliant to what God has already put on my heart, because the blood, which is the restoring power, which is the blood is what gives life to the spirit. The blood is what takes us from the old man and now transforms us to the new man. Right now, when? Right now, in the name of Jesus. So I was looking, you know, I was doing a little study, and just to clarify where this was confirmed, that this word that he gave me today was exactly aligned for where we had been all week. I went to Leviticus. In Leviticus 17 and 11, it reads, "For the life of the body, for the life of the body is in its blood." Say this with me or say it to yourself. If there's no blood,
there's no blood.
If there's no blood,
there's no life. No life.
Amen. Amen. So the word says that for the life of the body is in the blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you. Wow, now that's awesome. Now this is coming back from the old days. This is how the blood on the altar was put there, that you could now be purified from your old person to the new person. When? Right now.
Right now.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Now then we go a little bit farther down to 14, and it says it again. It says, "For it is the life of the flesh, its blood sustains its life." Okay, so it tells me that if I want to be purified, it's through the blood. If I want to be made right, it's in the blood. If I basically want to live and have life and life more abundantly, it can only be done by the blood. That's enough right there. We can stop right there. We can get into a worship service because it answers all right there. If you want to change, go to the blood. Woo, glory, hallelujah. If you want a transformation, if you want a healing, if you want a transformation, it's in the blood. But guess what? Here's that contractual part that Pastor Ed always shares with you, is that, yes, it was freely given, but there is a price that you must pay to receive. No longer can we be stuck in the old. We have to get into the what? Into the new. Amen? So we're going to go to the new, to the word of God that Jesus came to show us an example, just like he showed us how to pray, just like he showed us how to resist the devil, just like he showed us how to walk on water by faith, just like he showed us how to command someone to get up, rise up, walk right now. You know, all those are examples of the access and the power that is available to us as children of God. Now, that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited constantly that this word continually shows me that I don't have to go back on my old ways anymore. There is a new word every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Every 0 to 5 seconds. We've established that the now has been established from 0 to 5 seconds. When I say when, you say now. When? When?
Now.
When? When?
Now.
When?
Now.
That's the type of mindset that we must have to get in line with God's word. When? Right now. So we're going to go now. We got that now. The Leviticus, let me read this for you one more time. Leviticus 7 and 11 says, "For the life of the body is in the blood." Now, we are to die of the flesh and now become life in the what? Spirit. So the word is telling me, and we're going to get to that in a second, but that to have life in my spirit, I must have the blood of Jesus. I must have the way, the will, and the opportunity to do what God said do right now in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go to Romans 8. Now, this is where God had shown me to go today on Provoke Fridays, is that, you know, we have to get more prepared to first of all, understand what this spiritual life and this spiritual walk is all about. But number two, we also must understand that this body that we're in has to also sustain this awesome, this magnificent, this power that is so awesome that most people get crippled from it. That most people, okay, if we even go back to another example, do you remember how much Moses aged by one encounter with God? His fleshly body, not his spirit man, because his spirit man was enriched. But when he come off that mountain, he looked like he was 100 years older by flesh weight, not by spirit weight. So all that to say is that for us to be willing, able, and ready to take this spirit life that we want in us, we got to get the physical together, we got to get the mental together, and most importantly, we must have our spiritual life in order. Enough is enough. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want what God says I can have, that he will dwell in me, that I can dwell in him. That's just, can you imagine the dynamic bond of him being in you and you being in him and be able to connect in the middle, in that zone, in that Isaiah 10 and 27, where the anointing and the burdens are taken off and the anointing is flowing. That area, can you imagine that transference of relationship, the power of Jesus in you because you're in him and he's in you? It's by the blood. See, the blood represents the sacrifice. The blood represents the walk. All the things that he went through here on earth in the flesh represents the blood. The blood was just the ending format that came through the principle. But there are other principles that he was taught to us on how to walk in an honorable way of life in order. In order. And in order is where we now can have life. And when you're in order, you can have life more abundantly. And when you have life more abundantly, you can now share life. Now you can show life. Now you can walk life. You know, a lot of us walk around, and most people don't know if we're alive or dead. Maybe that's just for me. But some of us walk around, and unless you go to them and say, oh, praise the Lord, brother, now you see an excitement. Now you see the Spirit come to life. But when the Spirit of God is in us and we are in him, that Spirit is supposed to be vibrant in our, on us at all times. You know, I know you've seen people in church and you say, oh, I can see Jesus all over you. There's something special with something shining. There's something different because now that Spirit that's on the inside starts to replicate itself on the outside. And it's no more darkness because, see, that's where the Spirit is. That's where the transformation goes from from dark to light. There's darkness in our souls, but when the blood of Jesus is poured over us and we're forgiven of our sins, now that blood will start to transform us and change us around, and it will take the darkness out of us, and it will now become light that will shine from not on the outside, but from on the inside. Now, we're going to Romans 8, and we're going to read this first verse. And I don't want you to go too fast. Slow down, because we're going to go through the whole chapter of 8. And this is an example that was preached by Paul that will show us what Jesus did and what are the results of we following what Jesus did. And if we do exactly what Jesus did, what we can have. Not what Paul did, not what bishop, pastor, evangelist, or anyone else, but what Jesus said. And that's where we come back to that push of no options. It has to be Jesus' way and only Jesus' way. No more can I think about the old way I thought. No more can I think about the old way I used to do things. No longer can I even get the advice from the same old sources that I used to use. Everything in this new walk of Christ must become new and new right now in Jesus. It's by the blood. Therefore, now I know everyone that's a Christian knows this verse. This is one of the favorite verses that most of us would like to use. Therefore, there is therefore now. The word now is when? Immediate. So whenever you see the word now throughout the Bible and in the rest of your studies, remember, it's a for right now word. It's not just a right now word on paper. It's a word that exemplifies you got to do something right now. You have to make a change. When? Right now. You got to choose either life or death. When? Right now. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're the 2 Corinthians 5:17 Christian, the anyone crowd, because if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a what? He's a new creation. So if you're part of the anyone crowd, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Here's the hard part. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. Now, see, a lot of us stop at the first beginning and say, well, Pastor, I know I sin, but we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There is therefore no condemnation. Well, yes, it is, because it only works if you take the whole principle, as we've been teaching, is that in every bit of his word. It's just not me finding nuggets that end up into a principle that start from beginning to end and that will result in productivity. The word has been the same before I was even born. So we can't blame it that I'm some supernatural thinker and I see it a different way. This word has not changed. It's the same. So just as it was said before, it said today that you must follow the word completely. So stop getting in a rut or getting in an excuse mode that because there is now no condemnation. But understand that it's more important at the end than it said at the beginning, because at the end it says, to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not, that means you refrain from, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Every time you see the Spirit in the Word, think of the blood, because without the blood, which sustains your spiritual life, there is no life. The blood is responsible for your relationship with God. The blood is responsible for your connection with the Holy Spirit. The blood is responsible for you being able to call him daddy, to hug him, for him to hug your bosom. It's all the blood. Everything that comes from God came through Jesus Christ to us. When? Right now, but it's through the blood. So if I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh and I walk in the Spirit, now there is therefore now no condemnation to those who, what? Are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, we have to be smarter. You know, the word is a parallel. You have to get in it and want to study it far. You know, not just one read, but it took hundreds of reads. There's some things I find out right today that's different than it was 10 years ago for me. It's the same word, but it comes with a new revelation knowledge because my spirit man has grown, my spirit man has matured, and now I can see the word instead of just hearing the word. See, the letter killeth, but the spirit is what gives life. So if I hear the word and I don't have the life of the Spirit in me to now illuminate that word unto sight where I can now perceive it, I can never do what God said do. I can never, you know, walk in the Spirit, and I can never resist the lust of the flesh because I have no Spirit in me to build up those habitual attitudes that I must have to walk in Christ. Yes. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you must not walk according to the flesh. You have to now Remember? No options. You now have to choose that there's no more options that come from the world. It's because if I want what God says I can have, if I want the label on me that there is no more condemnation, I must walk in the Spirit. I must understand that the blood sacrifice must be honored by Christ to bring life into my spiritual walk. Now, this morning, I was sitting there studying, reading, you know, getting ready to come to the office and do the broadcast. And Evangelist Bernard sent out a group text. And I answered the text with hallelujah. Well, I didn't know it was, I was thinking it was directly from her, but I did it so fast, it went out to other people. Man of God called me, and we started talking. And he shared with me that God has put in his heart that if we do not die of flesh, if we do not gird up and get stronger, and I'm paraphrasing this how God has spoke to me after I heard it, but if we do not get ready right now to get up and do what God has called us to do, we got problems. And that encouraged me because now it put me in a place that I have to go forward. You know, there's a lot of times that the Lord puts something on your heart, and there's always things that come into your life that will push you the other way. There's always things from the past that will remind you of what you used to be, or what you used to do, or how you used to sound, or how you used to see. That's one of our biggest problems is that it's so many things from the past that we have not put behind us, they can't become new again. But glory to God, if we can get in our spirit that we must now make the choice to resist the flesh, our walk in the spirit will be a lot easier. Number two, verse two, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But it doesn't make you free. See, you have to go back to verse one. That you cannot walk according to the flesh. And then, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son. Now, he sent his own son. He sent his own son with a blood sacrifice for the altar to purify us, to put us in right standing, to even take it another level, to take us and put us in a level of relationship one-on-one with God. Yes, we need each other in fellowship. Yes, we need to encourage each other, but we do not need one another to have a relationship with God. Jesus came that each and every one of us have access to him one-on-one. Jesus came that you could have, and we say it again, life and life more abundantly. What kind of life? A life of Christ. What kind of life? A life that relates with Jesus. A life that connects you straight to the throne that you can fall down, bow down, and worship him at any time. There's no special temple that we have to go to. There's no special synagogue that we have to wait in line for. You can, right where you are right now, you can drop down on your face. And you can cry out to Jesus, and you can give him praise that is due to him. You can give him worship that is due to him. And it won't affect nobody but you. They may look at you strange, but that's for you and God. They may look at you peculiar. They already said we are peculiar people anyway. So why not just live the bill? You know, people say, Pastor, you're radical. Pastor, you're this. Well, I have to do what God has called me to do, and I have to wear what comes from the inside of me. And it's nothing but power. It's nothing but energy. It's nothing but a no-quit attitude because he's encouraging me to do not quit. He's encouraging me to get up early in the morning. He's encouraging me to make personal sacrifices that will teach me how to not walk in the flesh. How not to fulfill the flesh. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. See, he went through some things to now condemn the law, to condemn death, to condemn sin. See, it wasn't to give us an excuse to, you know, that we can ride on his coattail and get down to redemption, or to get just to give us a get through plan. He came to give us a plan that we can walk and not have to walk in fear, that we don't have to walk in doubt, that we can now have our birthrights back in our lives. We can be confident. We can be courageous and go and make disciples. We can be hopeful that God is what who he said he was. We can have faith because anything we do not see is of God. We have to wait for him to manifest it into the physical by our faith. And our faith is strengthened by what? The word. And the word now gives us the example of the blood that did all those things for us and put them back in order, that gave us a chance at the tree of life. When? Next year? No. 5 years from now? No. 10 years from now? Nope. Right now. Right now is the time. Right now is the opportunity. Right now is time for no more excuses. Right now is the time that we must make the conscious choice to move and move what God said move. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but there it is again, that walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, there has to be a transfer of power. That's where it comes to the decreasing with him increasing. See, when you die of flesh, you know, and dying of flesh is just this. Hey, girl, let's go to the club. Not tonight. You just die of flesh. Hey, homeboy, that's good. No, I don't do that no more. That's dying of flesh. Hey, can we hook up tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning? See, when you say no, that's dying of flesh. When you say, can we go back in the day? When you say no, that's when we die of flesh. It's all choices. It's all, you know, about no options. No other way can I go but the way of the Spirit. Because if I follow the Spirit, I will get what the Spirit says I can have. If I follow the flesh, baby, get this one right now. If you follow the flesh, even though you go to church on Sundays, you will get what the flesh results. Yes, the anointing power is that powerful. Yes, the women and men of God that pray for you are that powerful. Yes, Jesus and God could wash it all away in a day and make it all brand new by snapping their finger. But that's not how the process goes, because the word tells us that it's up to us to resist the flesh. Then it's access to walk in the Spirit. See, that's the principle. The principle is that by no options in my life other than Christ, I resist the flesh. Anything that does not resemble God, resist it. Well, Pastor, how do I know that? That's through prayer. That's through confirmation. You know, he said his word will be confirmed by 2 or 3 believers. If you didn't get some confirmation from the people around you, you may not be walking in the Spirit. You may be following the flesh. That's not a fault on us, but it's what we give our attention to. See, what we give our attention to, that Spirit will come live inside of you. If you don't put yourself in this word and start to activate it, but you watch, it's a show that somebody keeps asking me, do I watch? It came on last night, and it was all over Facebook, Scandal. Oh, Jesus, this isn't personal, family. I just got to put this out there. But I get messages out, did you watch Scandal? I know I don't watch Scandal. Because if I watch Scandal enough, even though it's just a show, Scandal will start to live inside of me. If I watch the game enough, and believe me, I like the game. When it first came on, I was down with the game. But I've learned that if I watch the game, some of the attributes of the game come to live inside of me. Why? Because I gave my attention to it. I gave my attention to Scandal. So everything Scandal did, guess what? That Spirit just jumped inside of you. Because why? You gave your attention to it. See, that's how you resist the flesh. You do the things that if it doesn't look godly, you cannot have it in your life. And I didn't mean that to step on nobody's toes, but that's just to show you. I guarantee you, if you call your friend or you talk to the one that watches Scandal with you, y'all know the episodes. But how many can quote 10 scriptures? Or you know what happened in season? You knew what happened in season one. You could take me all the way from season one to season three and get me caught up.
Hallelujah.
But if I called you and said, I need to know about this redemption power called Jesus, could you, without opening your Bible, just start to tell me the same story you just told me about a show that you gave your attention to? Ooh. See, that's resisting the flesh.
You're preaching. Hallelujah.
That is resisting the flesh. See, I could learn a song in a day. Probably less than that, because I give my attention to the song, to the lyrics. But if it's not a song of God, I don't even want to give my, I'm not going to give my attention to that, because before you know it, I'll be up singing a praise song, and then one of the words from the world will pop out just because I've been thinking about those type of things. Mm. As a man thinketh in his heart, which is your mind, so is he. You think you're crazy, you'll be crazy. You think you're fine, you're going to be fine. You think you're fat, you'll be, whatever you think you are, you will be it. There's people that walk around, they call them anorexic. They don't eat because they see themselves in the mirror as fat, but they don't weigh nothing but a buck one. Or there's people that are overweight, and when they look at themselves, they see skinny, so they keep eating. See, it's what you give your attention to, the mindset you have, will control all of your choices in life. When you resist the flesh, see, it's not easy, because the flesh will be the first thing that comes up. Oh, Pastor Noah, I've been in church 20 years. I've been on the prayer board. I've been on the usher board. Let's keep it real with each other. If you come stomp on my foot right now, my flesh is going to want to stomp on yours back. It's only by the grace of God that I now know when to make choices and when to rely only on the options of God, because when it comes down to me, I have to rely on him, because my natural flesh will want to knock you out. But the spirit man in me, the new me, the transformed me, the one that has put all the things behind me and made them new again, when right now is the one that stands before you. That's the one that can say, you know what, I resist the flesh. No, 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 brother. No, no, no. I know it sounds good. I know them zeros on the internet on that one look very good. But, man, I'm just telling you, that's not of God. There's something not of God in there, and I cannot jeopardize my access to my relationship with him just over one unconscious decision. It is about the choices. It's about the life of no options. No options has to be. Where when it comes to resisting the flesh, I got to know automatically that the flesh, you know when what you like in the flesh. It doesn't take a big billboard to say, to remind you. That's just like a touchstone. A touchstone reminds us of the goodness or the bad of something that happened. You burnt yourself on the stove. Every time you go to your mama's house in the summer for your vacation, when you see that stove, I guarantee you that you got reminded of that touchstone because you got burnt on that stove. It might have been 30 years ago. But when you go home, you look at that stove, and the first thing is not cooking, it's not cleaning, it's saying, ooh, I got burnt on that. Because we develop touchstones that remind us of things that were either good or not so good. We got to start to build touchstones that remind us, no, 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 I don't go that way anymore. No, 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 I have to do this. And here we go, verse 5. For those, now, I know I'm raising my hand right now because I'm one of them. But for those who live according to the flesh, now I'm raising my hand because that's not me. Excuse me, Jesus. For those who live according to the flesh, let their minds on the things of the flesh. But those, whoo, glory, now my hand's up. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit will be in your life. See, if you have nothing in your life but God, what else will you have? God. If you have a little God, a little streets, you know what, let me take that back because I'm in the streets all the time. But if you have a little God and a lot or a little flesh, you're going to have more flesh because the flesh will continually take over. If you get more God, it's no doubt that the light will take over the dark. that the spirit will win the battle, but you must give your attention to the spirit to win in the flesh. If you do a part-time job on both sides, the flesh will take over because you've got so many attributes in your flesh that remind you of the things of the past. Your five senses, your culture and authority, your mama, your daddy, your old first-grade teacher, your babysitter. So many people have deposited into our lives over these years that a lot of us have to really bear down and get a new way of thinking. Well, you know, you get too much stuff in you. You know, if you go to you go somewhere and you get taught by five different people, all you'll do is think about five different things. That's why it's no options, because it has to be God. It has to be only God, and it has to be by what he said, not by what I said. Six, for to be carnally minded is death. We don't even have to go there on that one, because if you're starting to feel that your spiritual life is dying, it might be because which we give our attention to, which directs our carnal mind, will now direct how we feel, how we act, how we get into depression, how it implodes in us from the outside in, instead of exploding from the outside inside out. The spirit coming out, the spirit coming out, the spirit coming out, instead of the spirit going in. And you know, if you revolve and revolve and revolve over and over and over again with the same old mess, that's all you'll have, is the same old mess. Verse 8. So then, those who walk in the flesh cannot. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say possibly. It says, for those who walk in the flesh cannot, cannot please God. I want to please God. I walk this walk. I talk this talk because I'm trying to please him. I'm not trying to please anybody on this line. I'm not trying to please any of my friends. I'm not trying to impress any. I want a love relationship with God. I want to give him my all, because I have learned that if I walk according to the flesh, I don't care if I sing one song. You know, you go to church on Sundays, and you go and you give your tithe, and you get up and you raise your hand, and you do all those things. And you leave there, and you have a carnal mind. You didn't please God, so everything you just did was for nothing. And then you wonder why you're not getting 100-fold and 1,000,000-fold and 1,000,000,000-fold and 1,000,000,000-fold and those type of fold blessings, because our heart, our spirit is not in line with where we're supposed to be. We're not making a choice to resist the flesh. We're not making a choice to pour the blood of Jesus on us daily and take up our cross daily. If you take up your cross daily and follow him, you just took your dose of blood. You just got your blood over. You just cleansed it all out. You just did your thing. Because daily means right now. Daily means wake up in the morning expecting it. Daily means stay ready. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, take your finger and point yourself in the chest right now. But for you who are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. See, we've been adopted, but if you walk in the flesh, you're not his child. If you walk according to the flesh, the Bible just told us that you are not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. He came that the sin could be washed away. He came that you can now have a righteous, a sinless life. We talked about that last week. You put on the whole armor of God so you can fight off all the fiery darts of the enemy, not just from the front, not just from the left or the right, but from all directions. So I have to resist the flesh with all of me. And it's because of the blood. The blood gives me the spirit in me. Because if he didn't shed the blood, this access and this opportunity that we have would not be available. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Oh, Jesus. See, I define righteousness as making right choices. Oh, Jesus. When I make the choice to have no options but Christ, I'm walking in righteousness. When I make a choice that everything I do includes Christ, I'm walking in righteousness. I make the choice that there's no other options but Christ. There's no other options but to walk by the Spirit. Because when I walk by the Spirit, I can. It says that in Colossians, that if I walk by the Spirit, I can resist the lust of the flesh. See, the Word continues to encourage us that we do not have to live by sin anymore. It's time for us to get from under the umbrella of sin and understand that it's not just something that's cursed on us that we have to live with. Yes, when Adam and Eve sinned and death was put on them by spirit, they had to go through all those things to get us to the point of Jesus Christ. But we don't have to go through those things anymore because the access that comes from the blood gives us the right to walk in order. It gives us the commandment. What it says in John 15, it tells us, it says that if you abide in me, I will abide in you, but you must follow my commandments. See, that's another one we stop early at. We just go to the, if I abide in you, you abide in me, you abide in me, I abide in you, you abide in me. No, you have to go a little bit farther and understand that that does not activate until you follow his commandments. His commandment said, walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. It Amen. Has to be a choice. It has to be an option. It has to be a directive that we activate this. We take this word, this uncompromisable word, and we take it and we give it life. We give it life by bringing it to our spirit and letting it transform into a likeness of Christ where I can do what he said I could do. I could go on the mountaintop, and he gives me every opportunity to be over the whole world. And I remember that it's for it's written. I remember that I got to go back to the Word. And then when he tries to give you all you want, all you thought you can have, you got to know that you can resist him, that you don't have to take the easy way out, baby, just because it looks easy. You must resist. Now, here's an example for you. While I'm preaching this or teaching this lesson, you get a phone call that says, if you renounce Jesus right now, I give you $5 million. I'm at your doorstep. Just open the door. You open the door. You still hear me on the other line. And you have now the option to see something with your eyes, but you hear something in your spirit. I pray that you choose the life side. But I guarantee you, your first reaction is, ooh, that's a lot of money. Do you choose? Because see, you must walk by the way of the flesh to get that money. But to be walking in the spirit, you must what? Resist. So you might have to resist that $5 million. But how many of us would? Is that why we're Christians? Just to get that big lump sum and then say, okay, thank you, Jesus, I'm done. No, we are to do this thing so when he blesses us, we can bless others because of the spirit that's on the inside, because of the blood, the redemption power that has come into our lives and has exemplified peace, love, and joy, that has exemplified that if we worship his spirit and the truth, that he will bless your socks off without even asking. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the spirit is life because of righteousness, makes the right choices. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Oh, Jesus. Now, see, look at that. When he raised him, it was because of the blood. but he raised him for those of us that will resist the flesh so he could give life to our mortal bodies until it's time to come. When it's time to be judged, we all will. Good, bad, ugly, we all will. But now, he who raised Jesus, glory, hallelujah, so that's a praise in itself. Woo!
Hallelujah.
If he raised Jesus, he can raise you. Newsflash, I got to throw this one out there. Yeah, everybody always talking about, man, I want to see somebody raised from the dead. Do you know that raising a person from the dead is not only just a physical raising, you can raise someone from the dead spiritually.
Uh-huh.
As a
Amen.
Matter of fact, it's more important to raise somebody up spiritually than it is physically. I would be almost guaranteed that to see someone come out of death in their body, that can still walk around in their flesh like they're living, to bring them out of darkness, to bring them back into the light, to bring them into the new life of Christ, that's when we raise them from the dead. Get out the graveyard. Get out the out the funeral homes. There's enough dead spirits walking around that we can raise life every day. That's confirmation that you can do just what he did. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, God, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells where? On the outside? No. In your pocket? No. On your lapel pin? No. It says by the spirit that dwells in you. See, that means that for the spirit to dwell in you, you've got to resist the flesh. For the blood, woo, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. For the blood to really act, for the blood to work, the power in your life that it needs to, before it can work, you must resist the flesh. Before you cleanse white as snow, you got to resist the flesh. Yes, you must repent. You must confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus died, raised, and came in 3 days. That's a gimme. But you must now start to resist the flesh. It's just not a declaration that gets us through. What it is that we now make a declaration of our faith by our words. We speak it, we believe it in our heart, and now we start to walk it by example by what? Resisting the flesh. Because it says that he'll give you life in your mortal bodies through whose spirit? His spirit, just like he did Adam. It says he what? Phew, breathed the breath of life into a body of clay, a body of dirt. But he says, through his spirit who dwells in you. It didn't say dwells in the pastors. It didn't say dwells in this person, that person. It didn't make any kind of exclusion there. It's wide open for you just like it is for me. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, brethren, sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay, you're saying, well, I'm not dead yet. I just said it doesn't have to be your physical death. It's likely to be your spiritual death that you'll experience. You know, that stinky thinking, depression. You know, they call you bipolar. You ain't bipolar. You just walking by the flesh. They call you ADHD. You ain't ADHD. You walking by the flesh.
Mm.
You ain't crazy.
You preaching.
You walking by the flesh.
Woo.
You ain't stupid. You walking by the flesh. You ain't fat. You walking by the flesh.
Woo.
You definitely ain't poor because you walk by the flesh. If you wasn't walking by the flesh, you'd have all the riches that you deserve.
Ooh, I received that.
See, if you walk by the flesh, you're going to get what the flesh has. If you walk by the spirit, you will get what the spirit says you can have. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then and only then can you live. I, maybe I'm preaching to myself, but that's pretty self-explanatory. You must die to the flesh, you must resist the flesh, and you cannot follow the flesh. The flesh has to be no options. The flesh has to be the last thing that comes, that has to be the last choice. Let me clarify that. Because it will come. Look at your neighbor or look at yourself and say, it will come.
It will come.
There won't come a, the battle, see, the battle will come. But are you prepared to fight? The battle will come if you continue to sit down and wait on wait and wait and hold on and those type of things. But if you get up, if you move, if you get excited, get girded up into his word and start to walk by the flesh, now you can go take the battle to him. Now look at your history. I shared this in week 2. Look at your history. There has never been a battle won that didn't take an invasion. You had to get they had to get out their own soil and go to a foreign land to win the battle. They couldn't just stay in the United States and say, well, we're going to win that battle with Germany if we just stay in the United States. No, it took an invasion. So I look at that in the spiritual realm. For me to win the battle, I got to invade his face. I got to be ready to go out fighting, not waiting. See, it's a difference to go out fighting and to be standing back waiting. Because when you're waiting, you're on the defense. But when you do an invasion, you're on the offense. You got to take the battle to him. And the only way you can do that is if you walk in the spirit and resist the lust of the flesh. It says right there, right? Woo, Jesus. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We must choose him completely. We must go the extra mile. We have to raise our standard up. And we have to go to another level without somebody pushing you. You got to get into worship without being exhortated. Yes, we need praise and worship leaders that know how to exhortate the spirit. But those of us that are worshipers and worship him in spirit and truth, we just integrate with them to now bring in the glory of God. You shouldn't have to go to church on Sunday morning, neither the praise team or the pastor, to get you excited about Jesus. You got to walk in the door with an expectation. Because, see, a lot of us come to church with a bad attitude because we're walking in the flesh. And we expect to walk through the door and get that flesh off of us. But when you take the flesh in, the flesh going to go back out with you.
Ooh.
Yeah, you had a good time. Yeah, you waved your hand. Yeah, you praised a little bit. But if you took him in there with you, he coming back out with you too.
Hallelujah.
You know, see, that's where it comes to the attitude, the mindset of Christ, the walk in him. See, we got to walk with the authority that it's already done, that I'm walking in a victorious life. So when I go to church, I'm already raising my hands. Good morning, Pastor E. Good morning. Let's worship. Because I'm coming in there with a spirit of expectation that he's already there. We cry out all in service, oh, Lord, come, come, come. Why ask him to come when he's already there? What we need to do is be ready to give to him more. Because when we get a habitual lifestyle of walking in the spirit, that's all we do. There's no other options. I walk in the spirit. I know I'm not even going to consider the lust of the flesh because I walk in the spirit. No options. It don't look like God, baby. No options. Oh, that definitely don't sound like God. No options. See, that's when we make the choice to resist the flesh. Because you must take an action to resist first before you can walk. Oh, I'm walking with Jesus. Did you resist? Because if you didn't resist the flesh, you are not walking with Jesus. I'm going to say that one again. If you are not resisting the flesh, you are not walking with Jesus, because it says Jesus will not have no part of something that is not of him. If it's dark, light won't be a part of it. If it's not his favor, if it's not his grace, if it's not something that's going to glorify him first, if it's something, you know, we're not supposed to have other idols and other gods. So, you know, if it's something that we do more than we do God, that we're not resisting the flesh. I don't care if he's drinking coffee. That's how small time I'm going to go on you today. I don't care if you drink more coffee than you read the Bible, you're not resisting the flesh. If you eat potato chips more than you in that Bible, you're fulfilling the flesh.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
If you listen to that R&B, to that soul love music too much, guess what? You ain't resisting the flesh.
See, it's
very cut and dry. It's very simple. It doesn't take a scholar to figure this thing out, because it says in the Word that you must walk in the Spirit. You must resist the lust, not just the flesh, but the lust of the flesh.
Ooh.
See, that was a double portion. It's because I didn't just say the flesh. Well, the flesh is, this. But the lust of the flesh takes it to another level. Because a lot of us lust with our eyes, and it never happens in our outside. We don't go forward with it because we say, oh, you know what, I can't get caught doing that, or I can't let somebody see me doing that. But with our eyes, how many of us actually sinned before sin ever came to pass? See, I know that hurt a couple, but when you resist the flesh, as soon as your eyes and your ears and all your five gates come in to try to give you an influence, you say, get thee behind me. Because you have the same access, the same power that Jesus had when he was tempted. It is written. Go back to the Word. Stop getting on the phone so fast. When the enemy comes, the first thing we should do is go to the Word. That's what Christ did. He was tempted two times before he went buck wild. Excuse me. This is my illustration of what happened on that mountain that day. And I'm going to probably have to write a book about this because it's very extreme. As a matter of fact, let's go to Matthew 4. And we're going to go back and finish Romans. But I just love this, and I just want to go over this right quick. But Matthew 4. Watch this. Now watch this. This can be another way. How do we walk by the Spirit and resist the lust of the flesh? Watch this. Verse 1 in chapter 4 in Matthew. It says, then Jesus was led up by the what? Spirit. Unto the wilderness to be tempted. First of all, we got to understand that when you resist the flesh, you will be led by the Spirit. There is a purpose, there is a plan, there is a design for your life that will bring glory to God. Just go and check that one off and say, that's going to happen. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, all right, let's stop right there. Now watch this. First of all, he had to be willing to be led. That was obedience. That was willing to decrease himself and allow something greater than him to lead him. And then on top of that, he knew it wasn't just for a party, it was for a temptation. And then on top of that, he understood that it was some requirement things that he could get through this thing, not through the Spirit, but through the flesh. See, I know the God that I serve is so powerful that he could have snapped his fingers, said, it's done, I ain't playing this no more, I'm going back to heaven, it's over, it's finished. And it would have been over that fast. But because he came to give us an example on how we can do exactly what he did, he went through every process with a principle in hand. So number one, just get ready to be led. It may not always feel good, it may not always look good, but get ready, because you will be led if you resist the flesh and walk by the Spirit. Number two, you're going to have a wilderness experience. Every time a wilderness experience comes up, don't think you like the Egyptians back in the day, that you got to go through 40 days and 40 nights. No, this is a wilderness for right now that you can go through right now, that you can complete right now, that you can come out on the other end right now. But it's going to come. There will be a wilderness experience more than just once in your life. You know, some of us will make that excuse, well, you know, I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going through my wilderness experience. No, that's an excuse that you just ain't ready to get out of the flesh and walk by the Spirit. But when you make the choice to walk by the Spirit, you now will be led. You now will be put into circumstances that you don't think, why would God do this to me? Why would he do it to you? Because there's a principle and a process that you must go through to be able to resist the wiles of the devil. So, number one, you must be led. And you must go through a wilderness experience. But number three, the flesh must die. I was preaching Sunday, and this is one of the biggest things I shared on. We love to eat. We gotta get something. We gotta swallow something. We gotta have a burger. We gotta have some fries. We gotta have some chips. We gotta have something. And when the men and women of God come to you and talk about the importance of fasting and praying, and we say let's go on a 40-day, 40-night fast, you might lose every member you have because we like to eat. And then on top of that, when we commit to a fast, the next thing is we get a phone call telling my pastor, how long we got to go? Can we eat at 3? And then thirdly, another excuse comes up. Pastor, I'm just faint today. I got to take my medication. Can I eat? See, we are not willing, and we got to understand, to be led and to be powerful enough to go through the wilderness experience and to come out and go through and be tempted. You got to be, that flesh got to be built up. You know, I'm not saying we got to be all buffed and big and all that, but your body must be a temple. Your body must be ready, available, and fortified to withstand the spirit that lives on the inside of us. I'm not throwing this out there. But if you've been walking with the Lord, and that spring in your step is going away, woo, get it back. Because God says that we got it all. We got all the energy. We got all the power. But when you get lackadaisical and let this body go weak, every time you get that spirit, somebody got to carry you off the stage. Somebody got to put a coat on you and wipe sweat from your brow because the spirit is taking that flesh and you can't do nothing with it. See, we got to get girded up. We got to get in that gym, get this flesh right. When he is in us, we can withstand it. And we can go 24 hours. We can go 40 days and 40 nights. And we can understand that flesh must die for you to be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. Now, this verse 3. Now, do you understand? That word now brought us back to when? Right now. Before, in verse 1, 2, and 3, it explained to us what he had to go through to get to the when, to the now. He was willing to be led. He went without opposition to the wilderness. And he, by his own submission, fasted 40 days and 40 nights because he knew he needed to teach us that this flesh must die so the spirit can live. This flesh must die so you can answer and make the right choices. This flesh must die so you can resist the flesh. So you can resist the flesh. Now, when the tempter came, remember I told you, he's coming. Look at your neighbor or put up your imaginary mirror and say, he's coming. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, now this is Jesus, he said, it is written. He didn't say, I'm God. He didn't say, do you know who you're messing with? No, he didn't. He said, for it is written. When stuff come your way, when the temptation gets and start knocking on your door, remember this, it was already written. It's in the Word. Everything you need is in the Word. When you resist the flesh, you rely on the Word. When you walk in the Spirit, the Word reveals itself to you. When you resist the flesh, there's no other options but the Word. Jesus knew that. Because he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Some words.
Every word.
No. Just the little words.
Every
just the big word. No, it says, to every word that proceeds from the mouth of Pastor E. No, from Evangelist Bernard. No, it says every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you need it, it's focusing the Word of God.
Mm.
If you're trying to win a battle, it's in the Word of God. If you're trying to change your circumstances with your marriage, it's in the Word of God. If you're trying to change your children's study habits, it's in the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Everything is in the Word of God.
Mm.
Now, understand, when he comes once, he's not going to leave you alone just once. He's coming again. But guess what? He will come. Because then it says there in verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you. Stop. Let me explain something. Just like, now watch out how smart he is. Just like Jesus relied on it was written, he did the same thing. He came right back at him. See, he come with every device. And don't think that you're such a scholar that you can out-scholar the devil, because he knows that word just as well as you do, or maybe even better.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because look what he did. Look what he did. He went there, and he said, well, if you are the Son of God, for it is written. So he tried the same trick.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he walking by the flesh. He's not walking by the Spirit, because he said, you shall give angels charge concerning you, and if their hands, they shall bear up you, lest you dash your foot against stone. Jesus said again. He didn't go off. He didn't slap him. He didn't put him under a Holy Ghost chokehold. He said, no, my brother, uh-uh. You tried it. I'll give you a little credit because you came with a little something, but that ain't going to work. Because it's written, he relied where? Right back on the word again. So he said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.
Mm.
Guess what? Just because he tempted you once and you won, just because he tempted you twice and you had the right answer, don't think it's over, because he's coming again. If he did it to Jesus, you better know he's going to do it to you a million times more. If the example here is to show us how God had to go through over and over repetition of staying focused, to stay committed. See, there was no options for Christ but the Word of God. He didn't look at it as a big example or a big equation that he had a bunch of other answers to come up with. He came up with the only option he had, and that was that it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But here it comes again. Just when you thought you won the battle, just when you did all that the word said that you could do, here he comes again. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, this is when Pastor Ed's example comes out. The one thing you can't mess with God on is trying to get him to worship you. The one thing, if you want to really get under his feet, try to get him to start worshiping you instead of you worshiping him. And a lot of us do that. Glory to God. We get up there and we think we all have in the bag of chips that God should be worshiping us, that we're doing this work in the ministry, and that he should give us something for this. That the life that we're living now, we've arrived now. And now I could be on the same pedestal with you. Whenever you do that, friend, that is when God will smite you down and come straight at you. Because look what he did right here. He didn't go to the word first on this one. I really believe when the enemy came to him talking about worshiping him, that was enough to put Jesus off that level plane and put him in warrior mode. Because he said right then, no. Now just don't get behind me now. He made a declaration right there. He said, away with you, Satan. Then he, Jesus. Then he went right back to that good old word. And he said, get away from me, Satan. I'm letting you know that it's already done. I'm standing in my authority right now. But let me go back to where it all started. For it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil did what? Got up out of there. The devil left him immediately. Because guess what? He took the battle to him. But he didn't go in battle unprepared, without the right armor, without all the armor, without all the things God said he could have. He took everything he needed. Plus, he put himself through some self-sacrifices and say, the battle's coming. I got to get ready for it. You know, I can walk by the flesh and I can sit here at the bottom of the mountain and eat me some berries and just take me a nap. And then when the spirit comes, they're going to leave me up there and I just come out of my shell and become God. He didn't do that. He made a sacrifice to kill himself of flesh. Because when you say, I'll go, you just killed yourself of flesh. When you say, I'm willing to go to the wilderness, you die to flesh. When you say, you know what, I'm gonna cut back on my diet. Yes, I love to eat, but I'm gonna cut back on my diet because I'm feeling a little sluggish. I don't have the same energy I had anymore. See, those are choices that we die of the flesh. And when you die of the flesh, now you can fulfill the spirit. But you must take one step. You know, the Bible says you take one, you know what? Take two, three, four, five. You got to take the first step to initiate what God has said we can do. Yes, he's going to give us all the power to do it and do it in excellence. But we must do the steps that will get us to the point of excellence. Stop going in half ready. Stop going in with half the word. Stop going in half prayed up. Stop going in giving my half worship. We got to go all the way. You know, the pastor is being praising the words to me. Lift your hands. You put one hand up, and we do that Holy Ghost wave. And we think that's giving praise to the Lord. That's not it. No, no, no. Walking by the Spirit means I walk in a power, in an excitement, and with a willingness to do what God has told me to do. Die of the flesh. Hebrews 12:2 says what? Look to the world. No, no. It says, look unto Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of what? My faith. He began it, he walked through it, and he ended it. He is it. He's the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He's all I need. Everything I need to get better in life is in Christ. Everything I need to cleanse up out of my life is in the blood of Christ. Everything I need to be successful in life is through the word of Christ. But it's up to me. It's up to you. Then we can come together collectively and we can really see God do some major things. Because it's just not me riding off your anointing all the time. That's our anointings joining together where that force can be strong. We go out on these missionary things, we go out on these street ministries, and you know, you're all girded up, you're all prayed up, you're all ready, but the people around you are just not on the same level that you are. I tell you right there, that is why it's not effective. Yes, they gave you a plaque. Yes, they clapped their hands because you came in town. Yes, but were you really effective to not get people's attention, but to get God's attention that we went out and saved souls? See, that's resisting the flesh. Because, you know, they give you, let me just throw this out there. They give you an hour to preach. They say, oh, man of God, I need you to come preach at this thing. We know you're good at outreach. We're going to give you an hour. If I took the hour, I would consider that walking by the flesh. Because first of all, I know that if I'm trying to save people, see, I got some veterans on the line here. I could talk for an hour, hour 15, hour 30 minutes, and that word is still resonated in us. But when we're out there on the street and we're trying to minister, and you're trying to preach an hour-long sermon, then people lost in 15 minutes. So for me, if I say, hallelujah, I'll preach an hour, yes, oh, glory to God. I'm not resisting the flesh, because that's my flesh saying, you know, it's about me. That's my flesh saying, oh, let me get on the spotlight. That's my flesh saying, I'm going to hold the mic for an hour. That's my flesh saying, I might throw a song in too. But my spirit man, when I choose to not follow the flesh, my spirit man will say, go on, give them one of them quick 15-minute now sermons, get them excited, and then go out there and love on them and show them that God is real. That's following the spirit, Now, that's just a personal for me. But when we're talking about going out and showing people how to walk and exemplify the life of Christ, we have to do it with power. We have to do it with the anointing that will not run away. So, you know, you're going out on these ministry things, and you first of all, leaving out of the drain. You're not seeing no results. It's probably not you, because you're doing what's required of you, other than watching what you have around you. Because we're the masters of our lives. We're the masters of our relationship with God. We're the masters of who we allow in and out of our circles. And, yes, I hope you can say to yourself, he talks about this every week, because I will continue. Because it's mostly important for us to be good stewards of what God has given us. If we continue to, you know, to take advantage of the grace and the favor that God has given us, no one is gonna get the results of it but you. That's where it becomes personal to me. That's where I say, you know what, for me and my house, we're gonna praise the Lord. For me and my house, we gonna have no options. For me and my house, there's no other choice but Christ. For me and my house, no, we're gonna resist the flesh. Well, you know, I just want to see that movie. It's got Denzel in it. I know it got sex in it, but I just want to see Denzel. See, if you cannot resist the flesh and say, but you know, I understand that, but I can't do that, because if I go there, that's going to remind me of that old me. And we keep wondering why that old me keeps popping up. We keep wondering why the old me keeps, you know, guiding my decisions. We keep wondering why the old me is the one that gives me every, you know, all the answers to my questions. But at the end of the day, we're still sitting in the same rut that we always been in. That's where enough is enough. I just can't do it. I just can't do it, and I can't allow myself to be the steward of what God has said is for me, and not be a steward of excellence. No compromise. Yes, them dollars sound good. Yes, that new disc sounds good. Yes, that sounds good. But if it's not of God, then that means you're not resisting the flesh, because the flesh is the one that like the bigger cars. Is the flesh the one that thinks you need this big 30,000-member church and you only got 100 people? It's the flesh that makes you want to go out and buy this house, but you got five 500 people in your church that don't even know how to get in the next meal. That's where, you know, we are stewards. We're called to be good stewards. A good steward manages his master's property just like it was his, without no return. I am your steward, and I am going to watch your valuables just like they were mine. And you remember the story of the talents? You know, you get scared. The enemy will keep you scared. You'll go bury everything. Then you'll go do a little investing, but you won't take the next investment and go make some more investments because of fear. But then there's those of us that will take God's seed and we will go multiply it. There's those of us that we will resist the flesh, because I know I can keep it in line, because I'm going to spend this on what God says spend it for. I'm not going to go buy me this and buy me that. I work hard for the things I like to have. So that's what God told me. Hey, I made you an entrepreneur. I made you a smart individual. I helped you get through college. I helped you get degrees. Go out and make your money. Go out and be successful at what I've given you to be successful for. Amen. But when it comes down to my stuff, don't worry about a dime. I got you. But I don't have you if you keep resisting the flesh. I don't have you if you're not walking by my spirit. I gotta cut you loose. This is your final notice that I done gave you three chances. But now it's time for you to step up and say no more options, because after this next time we may not get another opportunity.
No more. You preaching today.
It has to be done. Colossians, in the second chapter, I'm one page away from there. Oh, look, right there. All right.
Okay.
Colossians 2. And I'm gonna shut it down here in about 5 minutes so we can take on some calls. But I want to share this scripture with you here in Colossians 2. Basically, I want you to know today that you can do it. Say that to yourself. I can do it.
I can do it.
I don't care how it looks. I don't care what it smells like, sounds like, feels like, tastes like, or touch like. I can do it.
I can do it.
Chapter 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And am I pronouncing on that? It may be off. And for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining all riches of the fullness assurance of understanding to the knowledge of mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with the persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built in him. Look, your walk must resemble Christ. When somebody pulls up your root, they should see nothing but roots grounded in Christ. When you can't be pushed from left to right, they know that you are steadfast because of Christ. That you have been rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Be in Christ, he'll be in you. Resist the flesh. It's guaranteed, family. It's guaranteed that he will flee from you. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is going forth through the airways. Lord, we thank you that your word has been dispersed in the spirit. Lord, we thank you that your ministering and your protective angels have dropped down your word into the ears of those that need to hear it. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have used us in a mighty way to deliver the word that you would have it taught the way you would have it to be taught. So we thank you today, Lord. We lift up new destiny right now, Lord. We continue to pray for them, Lord. We continue to gird them up, Lord. We continue to lift them up, Lord, and pray for an increase of spirit. That as they continue to pour out, that you will continue to fill their cup, that they will be able to continue to pour out, that you'll fill their cup. And that principle of pouring and filling will be constant in their ministry. We bless and we praise you for them right now. Evangelist Bernard, we lift her up right now. We glorify you, Lord, for her right now, Lord. We now give you worship for her, Lord, for her commitment and her obligation and her tenacity to do what you called her to do through the voices and the mouths of many different people. But for her being obedient to what you said, Lord, we say, yes, Lord. For her being obedient, when you say go, we say, yes, Lord. Lord, for her being obedient just to do the little things that you tell her to do, we say, yes, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you for everyone that has listened today, Lord, that their lives will be changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of their minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Oh, Evangelist Bernard, your line is open. Can you hear?
Amen, amen. I can hear. I'm in a busy place. I'm out here at McDonald's. I had to stop. It's just been... Ooh, I've never heard so many sirens going today, and the traffic had an accident on 5, and I was trying to get over to Sister Ruby's house and could not do it, so I came over here at McDonald's and just booted up this computer to try to help a sister, but she's doing a great job, so I'm going to ask her to open up the lines because I'm not able to, and I don't want to distract the broadcast at all, but thank God for Pastor Hamilton, just thank God for him making the sacrifice to come on Provoke Fridays and teach us. So we need more teaching than anything. You can hear a hoop anything, but we need some sound doctrine. We need some sound teaching, and he always does that with such a marvelous way, and I just thank God for him. Thank God for all of you all on today. So this computer may even shut down because I'm running it on, what they say, like a generator. Amen. God bless you all. We thank you. We're going to ask Sister Ruby to open up the lines. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Hamilton.
Evangelist. God bless you. God bless you, my sister.
Evangelist Bernard.
Yes.
Yeah, it's acting up again. Don't seem like it want to open the lines. Is this the circle going? And I hear sister, what's her name, K-A-M-M-I-E, and is this still the circle is going around? It's not coming open. Pastor Hamilton line is open. Sister Patrice, is this the circle going? I pushed the first button. Sister T, just calling names here because it's been acting up. Sister T is on the line. Unknown number that we don't know, 773 area code, 5395. We're trying. It's just this computer's acting up today. So
sometimes it's Blog Talk. What you can do too, Sister Ruby, is mute your line, the host line, for a second, and then open it back up and see if that'll help.
Okay, I'm put it on.
If not, just acknowledge all of those that's on the line again.
If Minister Faithful is on the line, or if anybody gets a message to her, tell her I love that new Provoke flyer.
Okay. Yeah, she sent it to me through the text. I wasn't able to see it real good, but a beautiful job. She always does a beautiful job.
She's awesome. And if anybody's in need, of graphics, flyers, cards, anything, you got to get with Faithful Space with BMPS Marketing. They do an awesome job.
Awesome, awesome. She's a beautiful girl, I tell you, and we love her. And she sent me that. I wasn't able to get on and post anything, just been busy. But just acknowledge those that's on the line. I see Sister Cammy. God bless you. Sister Patrice, Sister T, Sister Albertine. God bless you. Just encourage me on this morning. Wow. God knows what you have need of, I tell you. And those that you expect, sometimes it don't happen from them. It happens from someone you least expect. So thank God for her on the line down in the Los Angeles area. That is your home girls, Pastor Hamilton, and we have to introduce you to both of them down in the Los Angeles area. Even Sister Shaw, Donna Shaw, she's on. She's out of Los Angeles. So, hey, Los Angeles is on today. We see also.
I'm sorry. I missed that part. You said my home girl where?
From out of the Los Angeles area, Sister Cammy, Sister
Albertine,
and you all friend him on Facebook, and you all will be able to communicate with Pastor Hamilton. He's a wonderful man of God. So Sister Albertine and Sister Cammy and Sister Donna Shaw, they're all in that surrounding area, not right there in Los Angeles. I think Sister Cammy and Sister Albertine may be in Pasadena somewhere in that area
when I lived in Los Angeles, I got all over. I grew up in Compton, but there's no. I'm a California boy, so I've been all over from Frisco to San Diego, from the desert to the beach.
All right. Okay. Amen.
So
amen.
Yeah, Edward Hamilton on Facebook, it'll pull up Edward Pastor E, but everything on there for Provoke the Purpose is on there, and I would be blessed to friend anyone that's in the Word.
Amen, amen. Also, we see Evangelist Lucilla Williams is on the line, Sister Dawn, Minister Donnie Woods, and also, I don't know if this Mother Space, but that's her area code, the 661 area code, and we're having problems opening up your line today. Sister T is on the line also. So, Sister Ruby, did you try to mute your line? Okay, she may have muted herself and didn't get back on. But anyway, we're going to go back to Pastor Hamilton, and whatever the Lord have on his heart for today, we still had about 15 or 16 callers on the line today, so we just want to encourage you all to invite someone on Provoke Fridays, and every day we're on the line Monday through Friday, amen, at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Also, we want you, we're looking for a great gathering for this citywide crusade that's going to be held September the 5th through the 7th. So Pastor Hamilton is coming along with us. We're looking for some for an awesome time to go down into the community there in Raleigh and go out in the highway and the edges and talk to the neighbors and those souls that's living right there in the heart of the city that we may not have even known was there. So the Lord is doing this thing. It's nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. So mark it, block those dates on your calendar, September the 5th through the 7th. Even Bishop Leo Lewis, Bishop Patterson, they have all we're getting some commitments from those that are going to come down for this citywide crusade that will be held September the 5th through the 7th. Also on tomorrow morning, we have a segment with Minister Billy Burns, and she's in the Carolinas. This is my girlfriend and sister in Christ Jesus. I tell you, she's doing a wonderful job, and they have awesome testimonies on Saturday morning. I'm telling you where God have really delivered some people. You know, some of us wasn't born in holiness. Some of us was born into families that may have been PK pastor's kids. Evangelist Priscilla is even a daughter of a pastor. But some of us have strayed away, and we get into other things. But the Lord is bringing them back into the body. You know, God said he's married to the backslider. So we're looking for an awesome time in September for this citywide crusade. And remember tomorrow to support Minister Burns. That show airs at 5 o'clock a.m. California time. And that is 7 a.m. Central time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So those of you that's in the Carolinas, you're up at 8 o'clock. Get on that line and support Minister Burns and her husband, Elder Albert Burns. And on Sunday morning, if you're up and you're not going to church or you're just lazing about, tune in for early Sunday morning prayer where we come on and give God 30 minutes of corporate prayer. Amen. It's always good to know that somebody else is praying along with you. So, again, we thank God for Pastor Hamilton. This computer has shut down, but we're going back to him, and we're going to let him close us out with the word of prayer. And whatever the Lord lays on his heart, and even with the event he has coming up, share that with the people. Pastor Hamilton.
Well, glory to God. Me and the street team that God has put together, we're doing an event on May 11th called Dear Mama. Now, this event is totally for saving souls. We're not going to, you know, I know a lot of musicians. We may sing a couple of worship songs, but we're going out and we're going to take 3 hours of our time from 10 to 1 a.m. I mean, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday. In Fifth Ward here in Houston, Texas, and we're doing the event called Dear Mama. The flyer is on my page, and what we're doing is we're going to go out and we're just going to love on women who are homeless, on drugs, that don't know Jesus, but we're going out to get them saved that day. We're not leaving with no as an answer, and we're taking a bunch of resources to give them options to leave there different. Instead of just coming, you know, getting their gift bag and going on about their day, we're going to have extended groups out there that take in women homes that will lead them in the direction to get better in life, to become totally restored, not just getting a check, not just getting an apartment, but get totally restored is what our movement is, and this is the first one for the whole summer. So we're asking for any help possible. There's nothing on it to say this is what we're going to do. We're just putting it out there that if God puts something on your heart, send it to us. Make sure we can get it, and we're going to give it to the ladies just to make them feel loved. Because, you know, a lot of ladies have had children, got caught up on drugs, and the kids got taken. and they're still mm-hmm. mothers, though. No one loves on them. You got other women
right.
that have children that went their own way that are selling drugs now and are showing their mothers no respect whatsoever because they may use drugs. We want to love on them. And there may be just some out there looking for the right direction and the right choice to come and start to resist the flesh and walk in the spirit. Well, we're going to make that available to them that day, and we're coming back with no hostages. We're coming back victorious.
That
anyone that comes to here, we are going to exemplify Christ that day and bring them into his love and into his family. We're definitely, we don't believe in having a jealous spirit, because what he has for me, he has for me. But he also has something for you that's just for you. So we don't have to be jealous. We don't have to be worried about who's on the spotlight, who's on the flyer, or whose name is bigger on the marquee. The main thing is resisting the flesh so we can fulfill the spirit and see God move into people's lives that actually need it. Church is full of people with new dresses, new hats, new cars, new jewelry, and new everything else. But we got a lot of other people out there that have nothing, that need that love, that need to know that Christ is not only in the church. Christ is everywhere. He told us to go. He didn't say go get a building. He didn't say go build a church. He said go ye therefore and make disciples. You can't make disciples in a church unless you go out the street and get them. So we need prayer. We need donations. We need gift bags. We need whatever is available to give to these women to let them know that we love them, but we love them through Christ without any ulterior motives. So we're going to definitely do that. Be in prayer with us, and we would accept any help. I'm gonna repeat that again. Any help offered will come freely, and we'll take it that way. But I want to close us out with the word of God as we started.
Pastor Hamilton. Can you give them your website out to our listeners?
The best way to give me is because everything is on here, but if you go to Facebook and look up Edward Hamilton, and when it comes up, you'll see Edward P-S-T-R-E in the middle as a middle name. So it'll say Edward Pastor E. Hamilton. Friend me, and I will accept your friendship. And then once you accept my friendship, I will copy and link all my information for the website, for the Provoke page on Facebook too, and some of our events we have going on, plus videos that we have on YouTube. But that's at Edward Hamilton on Facebook. Our office number is area code 832-593-3605. Our email is provoked, P-R-O-V-O-K-E-D, the number 2000, at live.com. And we look forward just for you, send us a prayer email. Just do anything for us on this thing, because we're encouraged to do what God has called us to do here. And it's basically it's coming out of our pockets.
Amen.
We're out here. We're selling hats. We're selling jerseys. We're selling whatever we can legally. And we're going to fund this thing, and we're going to fund it in excellence.
Amen.
So,
Pastor Hamilton has also has the Provoke Friday messages. You can get them on Facebook also. On YouTube. So he has these messages where you can hear them live. And you can also visit our website and listen to these messages every day. They're right there available to you.
And we encourage that. And we encourage that because there's a rich word going on. But, a lot of times it's going so fast that we need to go back on it. And that goes even at church, too. Just because we hear a good word, that good word, we need to take good notes, buy the tape, and go back home and now get the revelation knowledge that God has for us personally. But as we go forward, I just want to end us in Ephesians 2. And this is basically transforming the old condition so it can be alive in God. And you, and I'm talking to all of us, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all have once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, don't think it's all about the flesh, because, you know, once you start thinking stinky, you're going to do stinky things. Among all of those who once conducted themselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, say, but God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but not of yourselves, but not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So today, as you go forward, as you understand that as we make the choice of no options, no longer do we walk by the flesh, but we resist. And we remember this. It's already been written, family. Stop wondering. Stop guessing. Stop taking other things that are not of God and understand that it's all in the Word of God. Trust Him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall direct your path. In the flesh, not of the flesh, but in the spirit. We thank God for you. We bless the Lord for you. We encourage you to go forward. And don't just stop today. Every day, make it a new day in the Lord. Every day, make it a new opportunity to stand. Every day, make it your option to choose God and not the world. And the more we make those choices in Him, the more He'll start to make His choices for us. We thank God for you, we praise God for you, and we glorify Him, for His word will not return to us void, because we're going to start to do what it says to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Sister Ruby, are you still, your line still open? I don't hear her. I don't know if she, amen. Anyway, we thank God for you. We pray each and every one of you all have a blessed weekend. We love you with the love of Christ. Amen. I think she's
opening
up. I don't mind waiting. I don't know.
Amen. I'll talk to you guys next week. Yeah. God bless you.
Evangelist, can you hear me?
We'll see you next week.
God bless. Can you hear
you
me?
Have a great weekend. Sister Ruby?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, I wanted to acknowledge a couple of unknown callers on the line. They're still on the line. And area code 661-0240. The line is down, but Evangelist Bernard, I will give her a number and she will contact you, because she always do that when the new lines are they up, she will call you. And 267 area code, and your last four is 6830. Sorry about the inconvenience. Thanks, Bernard. I'll make sure she gets her information and she can contact you. And then an unknown number that I may not know, area code 504, and your last four is 9859. I think Evangelist Carol Stamp was on there, or you're talking about Sister Priscilla, because I have a 209-1362. So the numbers, the three numbers there, I'll make sure Evangelist Bernard get them, because it's been such a problem with the, the switchboard today, and she'll get in touch with you. And we pray and thank you so very much for taking the time to fellowship with us and hear the word of God this blessed. So I'm going to put on Shirley Cesar. Jesus, I love calling your name. Praise the Lord. God bless.
Amen. Amen.
Hit the button, Evangelist. Evangelist?
Yes.
I hit the button.
The song has been playing, Sister Ruby, so just you can just end the episode. God bless you all.
Okay, God bless y'all, and thanks a lot. Thank the Jesus Christ for holding this broadcast through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to close out now. Sorry about all the inconvenience today. Praise the Lord. Everybody, have a great weekend. Oh, Evangelist Bernard.
Yes, I'm still here, Sister Ruby.
I can hang up. It's shutting down.
Yes. Well, God bless you. That's good.
God bless you and have a good day. I said I didn't know. Okay, God bless.
All right.